So we're in a new series, short series, 3-week series on what it looks like to follow Christ and live unoffended. It's good. So Jesus is talking one day. He's talking to a group of people and some religious folks are involved, and he's walking through some things. And one of the religious leaders, they try to trap Jesus with a question. You may have heard this story before. As he traps Jesus, he tries to get Jesus to take out of context what they knew about the Jewish faith, about the Hebrew law, about all the law of Moses. And he asks Jesus, hey, of all the law, of all the commands of Moses, what is the most important? And Jesus, without hesitation, starts to respond. Matthew chapter 22, he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Okay. But he didn't stop. He pauses. And the second, he says, is equally important. You can imagine, like, what? I just said one. And he starts to respond. And the second is equally like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. I would have loved to have been like a fly on the wall in that conversation. Can you imagine, like, here's these religious folks trying to catch Jesus in a trap. And he responds with what you would expect. Love the Lord your God with all that you have to offer. And also love your neighbor as yourself. That's the one you said was equal. This is the same. Like, these don't seem, because as religious folks, I think we could probably gather, it's relatively easy to love God. God is invisible. It's easy to love someone who's invisible. And God is always loving us in response. It's so easy to love someone who's loving to you. But my neighbor is not. And maybe your neighbor's great. Talk about your other neighbor for a minute. Maybe it's the people then your neighboring your cubicle. Maybe the neighbor at work. Maybe the neighbor that sits next to you in the cafeteria. There are people that are difficult to love. Can we agree? Because people are very visible, and people often don't love us back. And that makes people harder to love. I mean, people will argue with you. People will say mean things to you. People will say mean things about you. People will eat food off your plate when you're not looking. People can be so offensive. And we live in a world where people have always been offensive, but now through incredible tools like social media, offense can be instantaneous and global. Like, there are so many things to just simply be offended about on a regular basis. I would argue this, that being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. And God, I know that today's topic is not easy for me to talk about, and I know it's not easy to hear. But God, I know this is from your truth and your word and the way that you have asked us to follow after Christ. So God, that's my heart today, that we pursue Jesus like nothing else matters. So God, give us your grace and your love to be able to do that. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So living like Jesus, or becoming more like Christ, like the objective of following Jesus is that we become more like him. And if you've noticed, there's an incredibly detailed, accurate chart that we're going to break down. We're going back to Algebra 1. It's about to get real. This is a growth chart of our pursuit of Christ. Now, my hope is by the end of the day today, you could identify this is where I am and this is where I need to go and grow. Now, if you're like me, this might be something you need to do on an hourly basis, because there might be days where you fit here and then here and then here. We'll work through that. My goal is today is not to make you feel guilty or condemned, but to recognize this is where I am in my journey of following Jesus, and here is where I need to grow. Now, up on the chart, we've got a couple things. If you know how charts work, if you can flash back to like Algebra 1, when you start to like plot things on a chart, we've got kind of the axes here. We've got the vertical axis, which kind of identifies the health of my heart, not like cholesterol, blood pressure, that kind of thing. It's like my spiritual heart, my compassion, my obedience, my grace, my mercy, my love, my forgiveness, my openness to hear the truth. A soft heart, which is a great thing, and a hard heart. Jesus actually talked quite a bit about the differences of our heart, like a hard heart being unhealthy and a soft heart being healthy. And if you can imagine somewhere on the lines, you could rank yourself how soft your heart is or how hard your heart is. And on the other axis, on the horizontal axis, we've got thin skin and thick skin. You can kind of see it's kind of a measuring stool. It's a metaphor of how much things get to us, how much they get under our skin or influence us, whether it's words, whether it's circumstances that either just dig in and penetrate and are absorbed by us, or how much we let that skate off and bounce off and are unaffected by it. And I think you can make a pretty good point for one of the four zones here where you probably fit in the most. I know exactly where I fit in the most, and I know where the temptation is. Now, spoiler alert, this is where Jesus is. And as followers of Christ, this is where we are moving toward. But I think we could all agree, living a life that's unoffended and still soft-hearted towards people in need, everything about our world is trying to pull us into one of these other zones. Everything about our world is trying to get us to be more thin-skinned and more offended. Everything about our world is trying to get us to be more thin-skinned and hard-hearted towards other people and towards maybe the people that we are called to love the most. There are so many things that are working against what it looks like to follow after Jesus and live as he lived that I think we miss it. So today we're going to kind of break down, and my goal is just to identify this is where we are. Now, that's where we are as a church. That's where we are as individuals. And this is becoming more like Christ in the journey of how we get there. And I'll just throw this disclaimer out there. This is not a, hey, just muscle up and try to get better. This is only obtainable through the Holy Spirit. This is only obtainable through the power of our God at work alive in us. We can achieve all of these on our own. In fact, as just a normal person, I think we're born into this. But because of God, because of the sacrifice Jesus made, because of his Spirit at work in us, we can be restored and transformed to thick-skinned and soft-hearted. So that's my prayer today, is that we can allow God to do some work in us as we work through these. Now, maybe this is where you are, and I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. I just want us to help us know where we are so we can take our next step with Christ. The first section we'll look at is thin-skinned and soft-hearted. Now, soft-hearted is a great thing. Soft-hearted is a healthy heart. Soft-hearted has empathy. Soft-hearted has compassion. Soft-hearted has grace and mercy for others and for ourselves. Soft-hearted means someone can tell you something. You can see an injustice in the world and you are moved. Not just to feel, but moved to action, that you might make a difference, that you might right a wrong, that you might move on behalf of someone or be a voice for someone who has no voice. Jesus teaches so much about what it looks like to have a soft heart by pointing out often what it looked like to have a hard heart. In fact, Mark chapter 3, Jesus is walking into a synagogue. It's where you went to do church things back in the day. Jesus is walking into a synagogue to do some church stuff. And as he approaches, Mark 3 tells us that he sees a man whose hand is badly messed up and not able to function properly. And as most religious people would do, they would just pass by this guy on their way to church. But Jesus is Jesus, and he pauses, and he goes back, and he goes to the man, and he heals his hand. And his hand is fully functional again. But the religious leaders who are watching this go down know that today happens to be the Sabbath. And by law, the Sabbath is a day of rest where you would do no work. And Jesus must have done some work for this man's hand who was not working to be functioning. And the religious leaders get offended by this miracle that Jesus performs, by this thing that Jesus had done. Not because he had done something good, but because he broke the law. Because today is the day of rest and work will not be done. So Mark chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that Jesus responds. He looks, Jesus looks around at them angrily, and he was deeply saddened by their hard hearts, that they had had no compassion for the guy who was hurting, that they had no empathy, no kindness to extend to this guy. Jesus was angry. Jesus was sad because their hearts were hard, and they weren't able to display the love of Jesus to this man because of the condition of their heart. A soft heart is a valuable asset to following Jesus. A soft heart is critical. A soft heart allows us to love God well. A soft heart allows us to worship God freely. A soft heart allows us to have compassion and compassionately love others. But a soft heart and thin skin is a bad combination. A soft heart and thin skin postures itself like it's in a good place, but because of the thin skin, we're easily derailed from the thing that God has called us to do. Because of our thin skin, we're easily manipulated or motivated or moved by words and emotions and circumstances or glares or comments or actions of other people toward us or about us. Because of our thin skin, we're easily unplugged or disconnected from the call that God has on our life. When my skin is thin, it takes very little to take my focus off the plan and the purpose and the call that God has on me. Because instead of being focused on the plan, instead of being focused on God's will, what you said really bothered me. And I'm just going to sit here on this for a little bit. What you said really hurt me. And I'm just going to let that linger a little bit. What you said really frustrates me. It's my belief that the religious leaders, they probably weren't that upset about what was going on, except for what was going on wasn't benefiting them. And in their mind, they were the most important people in the place. As the religious leaders, they were the elite. They were the ones who should benefit. If there was a Messiah in their presence, he should be benefiting them. He should be bringing attention to them. And instead, they're offended that this good thing happened to him, but it shouldn't have happened to him. It should have happened to me. The second zone, thin skin and hard-hearted. If we're just being honest, thin-skinned and hard-hearted, if we're looking at this chart right, if Jesus is here, this is the exact opposite. This is the flesh of humanity. This is the pride. This is the selfishness. This is the I want what I want it, and I want it now of our humanity. This is, I don't care what it does to anybody else because it affects me, and I don't care about you. This is thin skin and hard-hearted. This is, I would rather bad happen to you so it makes me look better. This is, it's tough for me to celebrate when good things happen to you because it somehow translates to a loss for me. This is, I don't care that something bad happened to your kid because that gave my kid more playing time. This is a rough spot to be. This is where the pride and the selfishness of humanity really reveals its face. This is where thin-skinned and hard-hearted, I just get annoyed with people. And thin-skinned and hard-hearted, I get frustrated with people, especially people that don't agree with me, people that don't think like me, people that don't do things or like things like I like. I get frustrated, and I put distance between these people, and I push these people away. And it may be because of my disagreement. It may be because of my feelings. It may be because of my emotions. It may be because they were mean or they said something that I interpreted as mean. And we take it to a deeper level. This is where those people are out to get me. So I come incredibly guarded, thin-skinned and hard-hearted. These people are out to cut me out. These people are to make me out to be the loser here, and they're going to tear me down. In extreme cases, this is where we get so paranoid in this that we become the aggressor. I am so fearful, so worried, so anxious that you're going to make me look bad that I'm going to attack you first. I'm going to put you in your place first. I'm going to tell you what your problems are and hide my own back here because I'm so thin-skinned. I'm so easily knocked off course and so hard-hearted that I don't care how it affects you. I don't care that your hand that was broken is now functioning because it didn't benefit me. It didn't help me. It did no good for me. So who are you? And I become offended. The Bible teaches so much about this heart condition, this hardening of our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Guard your heart above all else." Sometimes we think of like, you know, especially as you get older, now people want to worry about your heart. So you have to get checkups and you have to get these, and you have to monitor this and you have to monitor that. And you have to check cholesterol and blood pressure, all these things. And we do those occasional checkups. This isn't that. This is guard your heart above all else. Why? For it determines the course of your life. When our heart starts to roll down into hardness, you understand how gravity works. When our heart starts to become harder, it builds momentum and gets harder and harder and harder and harder to stop. When our heart starts to get harder, we start to push people farther and further away. When our heart gets harder, we get to care less and less about the people that we interact with on a daily basis and what they're experiencing and going through. When our heart becomes hard, it becomes so difficult to stop and to turn around. It's only through the transforming work of our Lord that we might soften our heart, that God might reposition our heart. When our heart gets harder, it becomes harder to follow Jesus. Our ability to follow Jesus is restricted. When our heart gets hard, I don't care about what happens to everybody else, good or bad. I'm just concerned about what benefits me. This is a scary place to be. And the third one, this is where I land on most days, and sometimes many hours of most days. Thick-skinned and hard-hearted. Thick-skinned sounds harsh, but thick-skinned is so good. Thick-skinned is resilient. Thick-skinned is hard to offend. Thick-skinned doesn't get so worked up when you say something or do something, and it bounces right off of me. Thick-skinned, man, it sets us up. When I've been through the first part of this year, I was doing really good, going to the gym 3 or 4 days a week, and then summer hit, and I got really busy, lazy. And when I got lazy, busy, I didn't go to the gym as much. And then August rolled back around, and I tried to jump back into my old routine, and real quick, I got blisters on my hands. My hands had got soft. My skin had got thin through the summer, and quickly I started to get blisters until the skin toughened back up and hardened back up that it wouldn't be so effective anymore. For some of us as Christians, this is how we write off the disciplines of Christianity, because it's toughening our skin but still keeping our heart soft. Proverbs chapter 19 and 11 explains thick skin like this. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it's to his glory to overlook an offense. Not only is it a good practice to overlook being offended, but it's to his glory. You are bringing honor and glory to our God to be able to allow an offense to roll off of you. Every day we are filled and presented with opportunities to become offended, but living in offense is a choice. Living offended is a choice. Thick skin recognizes there is a need for healthy boundaries. Thick skin recognizes that I'm an asset to advancing the kingdom. Thick skin recognizes that there are things trying to corrupt me, and I will not be corrupted or influenced by anything else other than the truth of God. Thick skin keeps me from getting tripped up by things that get in the way to disrupt the plan and the path that God has for me. But thick skin sometimes lends itself to become a hard heart. I can get so mission-driven. I can get so laser-focused. I can get so caught on the task in front of me. This is where I land sometimes. I can get caught so ingrained, so busy doing ministry that I forget that I'm ministering to people. And I mow right past the person on the outside of the synagogue with the pain and the hurt that they're in to go and do the ministry that God has called me to do. Thick-skinned and hard-hearted walks right past people that are hurting. Thick-skinned and hard heart walks right past people that are in need. Now, sometimes we polarize this, that if we're going to be thin, if we're going to be thick-skinned and soft-hearted, that we're going to have to be a pushover, and people are going to walk all over us. And there must just be this thing where either you're going to be tough or you're going to be weak. Can I just tell you that's not true at all? In no way, shape, or form do we read the weakness of Jesus. In fact, everything I read in the Bible is the strength of Jesus. Jesus calls us to be meek, but meekness is not the same as weakness. Meekness is having the strength and having the power to make a difference, to make something happen, but having the self-discipline and the love to recognize when or if it's needed to be used. There was never anything about Jesus that just said, roll over and let people walk all over you. But Jesus recognized that in all power that he had, there is a time and a place to use it. Jesus never went flying off the handle because someone offended him. Jesus never leveraged his deity to strike people down when they spoke against him, when they mistreated him, when they spoke harshly of him. Jesus knew meekness was self-control wrapped in love and knowing when to use his strength and power. What they did, what they said, how they did it, how they said it. It never slowed Jesus down from walking the path that God had laid before him. I am focused on what I've been called to do. I'm focused on the assignment, the plan. I'm focused on the giftings to use. I'm focused on where God is pushing me and leading me to, but I do so with an open heart, with a soft heart. The problem with our humanity is we take it for such a short journey from thick-skinned to become hard in our heart, that we become guarded and protected, that we put the barriers and the distance between us and the people God calls us to love so far apart that I can walk right past someone in their pain and be so focused on doing ministry or so focused on building the business that God called me to or caring for the family that God has given me to steward or doing this thing that he's called me to do that I walk right past people that need to know the love of Jesus. We can't become so task-oriented. We miss out on people that need to know the love of our God. We can't become so focused on doing the thing and forgetting the people. Jesus didn't say, love the Lord your God with all that you have and love doing things. He said, love the Lord your God with all you have and love your neighbor. We can't become numb to the very neighbors that God has brought into our lives. It even takes us to a place where we forget to look deeper. Oftentimes when people lash out and act out and do things outside of what we would say is kind, we take that as face value rather than understanding this is probably a symptom of a pain that they're experiencing. So often people are playing out the pain that they're in through the way that they treat other people, how they talk to other people. I can get really focused in my world and say, your words don't bother me, your actions don't offend me. I can continue doing this, and in doing so, neglect the fact that these are symptoms of a pain, of a hurt, of a bigger problem, of a bigger need. My skin can become so thick and my heart so hard that I miss out on. We can never get to a place where we're so mission-minded, where we're so agenda-driven, where we're so tolerant or intolerant, so focused on what will offend and what will not offend, that our hearts miss out on the symptom. I tell my kids this all the time, because if you know anything about teenagers, they often do things and say things that are so hurtful, but hurting people are the ones that hurt people. Hurting people are the ones that respond by hurting other people. Hurting people are the ones who are crying out and calling out and not knowing how and trying to live strong, but understanding that you can't do that under your own strength. There's a reason why they said that thing that they said to you or about you. There's a reason that's coming from deep within them that's playing out in how they were so offensive to you. They were broken. They were hurt. They were lost. There's probably a lot more to do with what's going on inside of them than what's going on between the two of you that's caused this to play out. And I think our job as Christians is to trust that we should be thick-skinned, that should bounce off, roll off, but be so soft-hearted to assume that we don't know the full story and there might just be a little bit more to it. I'll never forget, a few years ago, we're living in Illinois. I'm working at the church there. We get a phone call to the office one day. One of the local hospitals had called and said that they had a patient that was there that was from our church and wanted one of the pastors to come in to pray for her, to visit with her. Now, I had no idea who this lady was, but I was the only pastor in the office that day, so by default, the call came to me. Now, instantly, I'm on mission. I got a youth service that night. I got things to do. I got things to prepare for. I don't have time to go and pray for some lady and her just little bitty kidney stone that she's dealing with. I'm not making light of a kidney stone. I get it. It's a big deal. But I'm busy doing the Lord's work. So I start to have this internal conversation. You're like, you know what? I need to be soft-hearted. I need to have a pastor's heart. I'm going to go do pastor stuff. So I hop in my truck, and I take off, and I get to the edge of the driveway, and I'm about to pull out onto the road to go to the hospital. And as I do, this is a two-lane road, and this car comes flying into this lane and whips out just as about as I'm supposed to take out. So I slam on the brakes like, what you doing? Okay, fine. I'm a pastor. I'm doing pastor things. I'm a good person. So I pull out into the lane. I'm thinking, whatever. I'm moving on with my day. Well, as it turns out, there's a road that I take to go to the hospital, not a very highly traveled road, and sure enough, this lady turns down that road, to which at first I was like, great, but then I'm thinking, she's going really fast. If one of us is getting pulled over, it's her. I can get to the hospital a little bit faster, save myself some time. This is going to work out beautifully. She turns, I turns, and she shifts it into first gear, I think. I mean, just like so slow, and not only so slow, but like swerving into oncoming traffic. Almost takes out a mailbox on this side. I can't get around her. I'm starting to tailgate. I'm starting to wonder about this road rage thing that you non-pastors think about and talk about. Okay, fine. It's going to be okay. We're going to get to the stoplight. I'm going to turn. Nobody ever turns here. I'm going to turn. It's going to be good. We get to the stoplight. She turns. Four more turns. She beats me to the turn. I can't get around her. I'm frustrated. We're going slow. I'm wasting what feels like hours on a 20-minute drive. So I finally made up my mind, okay, we're going to get on the road to the hospital. She's going to go past it, just past the hospital parking lot road. The road doubles. I'm going to pull up beside her. This is what you do when you have no money. You roll down your window. I'm going to pull up beside her, and I'm going to tell her she needs Jesus. Maybe other things too, like there's other things I want to say. But right now, that's all I can think about. And as we're driving down this road, I never made it to that stoplight because there's two exits off that road. The second one where I'm going is the parking lot to the hospital, and the first one is the entrance to the emergency room door. And she takes the first. And as she takes the first, it's like my car died and I just slowed. And I look over to this lady who slams her car up into park, flips the door open, jumps out of her car, rips open the back seat, reaches in and grabs a little girl about the same age as my oldest daughter at the time, who is motionless and a very distinct color of blue, and throws her up into cradle position. I mean, this lady can't weigh 30 or 40 pounds more than this little girl, and just picks her up and sprints into the emergency room door. Here I was, all offended that she had wasted 5 or 6 minutes of my day and her whole world looked to be falling apart. I was offended that she got in my way from doing this good work that I should have been doing instead of considering what she might have been going through. God broke my heart that way in a way that I had never been broken before and never been the same since. That when I take for granted what I think the scenario is, what I think the story is, when I think I know the whole picture, this is just some bad driver in front of me, there was way more to her story. I was thick-skinned and hard-hearted, and God showed me what it looks like to be thick-skinned and soft-hearted. And before I ever went into the room to pray for the lady from our church, I sat in the parking lot weeping, praying for this lady and for her daughter or the girl that she had brought in. We are called to live in a place thick-skinned and soft-hearted. Jesus modeled for us thick-skinned and soft-hearted. Jesus taught us thick-skinned and soft-hearted. Every day we're presented with opportunities to become offended, but living offended is a choice. It's not human nature. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in us that we would gravitate to hear, that we would gravitate to hear or to hear, but because of the transforming work of our Savior, the sanctification, the becoming more like Christ is turning our heart, posturing our heart, and being obedient to his example to be thick-skinned and soft-hearted, that your offense, that the thing that comes after you or at you will just bounce off, will not get beneath your skin, will not disrupt you or distract you from the call that God has on your life, but it will transform you to be more like Christ, but not to the cost of the people that we interact with or that we observe or that we interchange with every day, that we might be moved with a soft heart to compassion, to empathy, to grace, to love. Being transformed to be more like Christ is not changing our moral code. Becoming transformed to be more like Christ is that what happens around us doesn't distract us. unless what distracts us is people that need Jesus. We are thick-skinned and soft-hearted. My prayer is that every time you're faced with an opportunity to fall into one of these zones that you're reminded about by being thick-skinned or thin-skinned, by being soft-hearted or hard-hearted. And how can I allow God in this moment to transform my heart to be thick-skinned and soft-hearted? How do I allow my Savior to continue to work in me that this doesn't stop me, this doesn't slow me down, this doesn't derail me, but the people around me matter, that I can still live out the call that God has on my life and demonstrate love the same way Jesus demonstrated love for me. Jesus gives us so many incredible examples, and one of my favorites, maybe the most profound, is found in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 is the last few hours of Jesus's life. Luke chapter 23, Jesus is arrested. He's immediately taken to trial, but the trial was rigged. The trial was expedited. The trial was filled with lies, with misinformation, and Jesus, because of that, is convicted. After conviction, he's stripped of all his clothes very publicly. He's beaten and he's flogged for hours. And after nearing death, they take the captive, the prisoner, and they take him to a wooden cross and demand that he carry this cross to the top of a hill that would eventually hold him until he dies. We pick up the story in Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Two other guys, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him, with Jesus. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Do you know who you're messing with?" And Jesus said, "What do you think that you're doing?" And Jesus said, "How dare you touch the Son of God?" That's not what he said at all. I mean, he had the opportunity to. But Jesus responds in verse 34, while all of this is happening to him, an unfair trial, an unjust punishment, torture that he didn't deserve. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers mocked him, coming up and offering him some sour wine and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." What an opportunity for Jesus to show off his deity. "Say something else, I dare you," and strike him down. What an opportunity for Jesus to leverage his supernatural strength to shut down the people that tormented, that brought false accusations, that beat and tortured him. And yet Jesus willingly volunteered to allow himself to experience all of this for you and for I. That he would not become offended to the wrong that I have done to him, but instead thick-skinned, literally thick-skinned, beaten and abused and tortured and not to give up because he was so soft-hearted for me and for you. That he knew that we would over and over again disqualify ourselves and yet sin thick-skinned and soft-hearted. With every opportunity to leverage his deity, to use his supernatural strength to his benefit, his response, "God, they don't know what they're doing. God, they're broken and they're hurting. God, they don't see your plan the way I see your plan. God, forgive them. God, I know that at this time, at this moment, I could be so upset with them. I have every right to be, but God, I'm praying for your mercy instead. God, I need you right now. You could deliver me from this. You could take this yoke from me right now. But God, this is why I'm here, to fulfill your plan, to fulfill your purpose, to be thick-skinned and soft-hearted. The accusations, the testimonies against, the beating that he took that he didn't deserve, this is not going to stop me from fulfilling the destiny that God has placed before me. The things that have come against me to derail me from the thing that God has put me on this planet to do, this will not offend me, this will not delay me, this will not keep me from it. Instead, I will live out this call, I will live out this mission with love, with empathy, with compassion, with grace, and with mercy for every man, woman, and child around me, skin so thick you can't stop me, and a heart so soft that I know why I'm doing it. In his frustration, "Father, forgive them." In his greatest time of need, interceding on their behalf. Church, this is my prayer for me, and this is my prayer for us. That in every opportunity we're presented to be offended, that my skin would get thicker and that my heart would get softer. That in day-to-day operations and whatever happens and whoever comes to me or at me, that when people say things, when people comment things, when people suggest things, God, that my heart, my skin would be thicker and that my heart would get softer. That how I respond, that my skin would be thicker and my heart would be softer. When people say and do, my skin would get thicker and my heart would get softer. That I can see beyond the symptom and I can keep my eyes on my Savior every day, an opportunity to be offended. But living offended is a choice. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that in every opportunity that you could have been offended at me, that you chose grace and mercy instead. God, that you chose kindness when I didn't deserve it. God, let my skin be thickened. Let my thoughts, let our thoughts only be penetrated by what you say to us and what you say about us, by what you say and you promise for us. God, let our hearts be softened. Let them be softened to the people who are hurting, the people who are in need. People don't see the plans and the practices in your way, who can't see and understand your plan for them. God, allow us to have soft hearts for them. God, break our hearts for everything that breaks yours. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, today is a little different. Before you get up, we ain't done. I ain't letting you out early. Come on now. Today is an incredible day. Today is a special day. Now, if you didn't know, we just completed a couple weeks ago a 40-day kindness initiative. For 40 days, we did tens of thousands of purposeful, intentional acts of kindness, so much so that we got some global recognition, and the world decided that today is World Kindness Day. What? Why are y'all laughing at that? Y'all think that I made some of that up. I did. Today is, in fact, World Kindness Day. It started in 1998. But it's an incredible day. Now, that's an awesome day, but that's not really what I want to highlight and celebrate today. We got kindness down. We got this. Today's also Stand Sunday. Now, if you didn't know, Stand Sunday is a day all across our nation that churches rally together to make a greater impact in caring for the vulnerable children and families who are touched by the foster care system. Now, if you've been at Crossroads for very long at all, you know over the last few months, we've talked a lot about the instruction that the Bible gives to the church. And one of those instructions is to care for kiddos in need. There is an ever-increasing need for families to care for kiddos in foster care. There's an ever-increasing need for care for families who are involved in the foster care system and to provide resources to help them succeed. In our country, there are 400,000 kiddos in foster care today. In Indiana, there are over 10,000 kids in foster care today. And most foster care homes are only able to last about 1 year. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that we don't have all the answers to this figured out. But we've received enough information, and I believe that we have enough resources that we can make a stand to make a difference for those who are the most vulnerable in our community. See, we have this thing that we say, and we don't just want to be a people that say it, we want to live it. We believe that all people matter to God. Every man, every woman, and every child matters to God, and if they matter to God, then you can bet they matter to me. And we want to treat people as though they matter. We want to let people know that they are valued, that they are loved, no matter where they're coming from and what's going on in their life. And we will not just be a church that talks about this. We are a church that gets in the game. So my prayer today is that with a soft heart, would you consider how to get in the game? We're going to present lots of options, lots of opportunities. In fact, if you have notes, I'm going to spoiler alert right here on the front page of your notes is a list of ways that you can get in the game on Stand Sunday to help tackle this need in our community. One way to do it is journey bags. If you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about these journey bags. Journey bags are a real simple way to put together some things to show people that we care. When a kiddo gets taken out of a home and placed into a foster care, typically they leave with what they're wearing and not much more, if at all. We want to put together some bags. We're working with a couple organizations to put together some bags that has clothes and toiletries, maybe some toys, some games, some things that meet their basic needs. The journey bags are broken down on age, on boys and girls, and on things that they would need at that specific age, that when they get placed in a foster home, that they know from the beginning, someone was thinking about me, someone cares for me, someone loved me enough to give me some stuff that I didn't have before. Now, we are launching an ongoing campaign to build journey bags, an ongoing journey bag initiative, not just today, but to continue to support kids in the foster care system with journey bags. Journey bags are pre-packaged bags put together with all these resources that we will store so that at the moment's notice, when an organization calls and says, hey, we need a journey bag for this age of a kiddo, we can deliver. We want to be able to meet that need, not a couple days later, not after things have settled down at their foster home, immediately. Now, you can do this a couple ways. You can go out and you can get the list off of our website for whatever demographic you want to shop for, and you can buy a bag and you can fill the bag with all the stuff that they need and complete the journey bag that it might be delivered and it can be handed out when needed. Or you can just go and buy some of the supplies that go into a journey bag, and we'll put all those supplies together and we'll build journey bags as we have enough to put them together that we can meet the need in our community for kids going into foster care and having this incredibly difficult journey begin. We want to share the love and show the love to these kids as they do that. So if you do that, if you come on a Sunday morning and you get a journey bag put together, you want to bring some resources in, you can stop right outside the doors at the Guest Welcome Center and you can drop off your bags on Sunday morning with all the stuff you want to bring with it. If you want to stop by during the week, you can come to South Campus at door 3, Monday through Thursday, and you can drop off stuff to go in the journey bags or drop off complete bags with everything you want to put in them, and we can get started there. That's one way that we can help, one way we can serve, one way we can put our soft heart in motion to be able to help in foster care. The second way you can do this is Crossroads is putting together some support groups for foster families. Now, this is a really specific thing. Most families that engage in foster care only do so for a year. And what we've understood is that a lot of that happens because they don't have the support that they need to continue to do that. As a church, we want to be a resource to help support people that are fostering kiddos, to help support the families that are doing that. So we're putting together support groups of all of our families that are in adoption, in foster, in kinship adoption, that are taking people that weren't born into their family in, that we can help support them, that we can put communities together where they can support each other, where they can share stories. You can imagine the uniqueness to some of the challenges of fostering a kid and adopting a kid and having a community where you can be honest and transparent and share your successes and share your challenges and be able to talk to people. The third way you can get involved, Crossroads is going to become a hub for training events. We want to house events where we can train families going through foster, families going to adoption or going through to adoption, or families that are doing kinship placements. We want to be able to train, and we're not doing the trainings. We're partnering with some of the amazing organizations that are already out there with facilities to be able to do that. But I don't want, my goal isn't that we just have these very stale places where you come in, sit in a row, take some notes, learn something, and go home. But what would it look like if you used your gift of hospitality, or you used your gift of organization, or you used your gift of encouragement, and just show up for some of these trainings just to love on people and know that they're cared for and supported? There'll be people that show up for these trainings that have nothing to do with Crossroads and maybe nothing to do with Jesus. And what if you pouring love on them is a great way to show the love of Jesus in real time to families that are doing so much to make an impact? Now, the fourth one is a big one. This is a big one that I would encourage you to think about. You can join a care community team for a foster family. A care community team is 5 to 8 or 10 people who are simply supporting a family in foster care, meaning you're going to come alongside and do some things just to support the family who's in the trenches with foster care. This could be a family. This could be an individual. This could be a small group. And you're going to come along and you're going to support foster families and adoptive families, providing practical, emotional, and spiritual support as they walk this out. This could be as simple as taking mama out for coffee once a month and just letting her talk and just letting her breathe and be a grown-up for a little bit with no pressure of anything else. This could be as simple as taking the grocery list for the family, running down to the grocery store and doing some shopping for them. This could be as maybe complex as doing all the necessary paperwork to get the background checks to go and to be a caregiver and do some babysitting, do some mentoring, visit with the kid that's in the foster care, maybe to build a relationship with the kiddo, or maybe to give mom and dad a breather to go out on a date one night. Lots of opportunities to just care for families in the trenches with the foster care. When this last one is a big one. Would you pray and consider about becoming a foster parent? There are 10,000 kids in our state in the foster care system. The number is going to continue to grow. Would you pray and consider becoming a foster parent? I understand this isn't for everybody. I understand this isn't for everybody's season of life. This might not be for you where you are right now, but I can't think of a better way to live out the instruction of Jesus than to care for the orphans, for the care for the kiddos in need, than to provide a loving and a caring and a safe home for some of the most vulnerable young people in our community. Now, we understand this is a big commitment. And we understand we don't want to just dump this on you. So we're trying to do everything that we can to provide resources and the right people and the right connections to help you at that. And there's a lot of really good organizations that are out in our community that are already working in this. But we actually reached out to a couple organizations in the last couple weeks, and they are here today right outside the doors. There's a group from Josiah Whites. Josiah Whites is an organization that specializes in faith-based foster care. They provide a wide range of services, including foster care and family preservation services. So they're doing lots of things to help build stronger families. We've got some folks folks that are sitting at a table right out there. And if you've got questions about maybe becoming a support group, maybe you got questions about becoming a foster family, you just want to know more detail about it, you can pray about it and talk to God about it and see if this is something he's calling you and your family to in this season, then I would encourage you before you leave today to stop and talk at that table. There's also some folks at that table from DCS, from the Department of Children's Services. They're the boots on the ground in our community of doing things to help with kinship and traditional foster care and emergency placements. It's a little bit different to do an emergency placement. It's more high demand on need, but it's a shorter term. Maybe that's something you'd be interested in too. My hope is, my prayer is that you just allow God to tug on the strings of your heart. You've positioned and postured yourself in a soft spot to where God says, this is where you can help now, because I believe every single one of us can make a difference. And if you can imagine what tens of thousands of acts of kindness did, how much greater would this do when Crossroads stands up and says, we're going to make an impact to change the world for some kiddos in the foster care system. So today is a close. I just want to present that opportunity to you, and God to have a moment to listen to his voice. What is it that you can do to make an impact? What is it that we can do to make an impact? What is it that we can do? And just, if you would, dream with me for a minute. What would it look like if Crossroads Community Church fulfilled the need for foster care in our community, in this part of the state? What would it look like for Crossroads to fill a pantry full of journey bags that every time a caseworker called and said, I need this specific bag, we could deliver, and this kid knew the love of Jesus because of your acts of service and generosity? What would it look like if we were so thick-skinned and soft-hearted that we just love people right where they are and help them take their next step with Christ? Everybody has a part to play. What can you do? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that, God, that your grace abounds. God, you have been so soft-hearted to each of us. And God, those times where we get busy and those times where we got so many things going on in our lives and those times where we just get distracted by the busyness of our day, God, that you pause us and remind us what it looked like to be thick-skinned and soft-hearted, that we live and we operate in a place from a place where we are just open to your instruction, to the people that you bring into our past, and God, that we can encounter you in a way that prompts us, that moves us, and inspires us to love like Jesus loved me. Jesus, I thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.